عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا خير خلق الله، صلى الله عليك أيها البشير النذير، صلى الله عليك أيها السراج المنير، صلى الله عليك وعلى أهل بيتك الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين يتبعون الرسول النبي الأمي الذي يجدونه مكتوبا عندهم في التوراة والإنجيل يأمرهم بالمعروف وينهاهم عن المنكر ويحل لهم الطيبات ويحرم عليهم الخبائث ويضع عنهم إصرهم والأغلال التي كانت عليهم، فالذين آمنوا به وعزروه ونصروه واتبعوا النور الذي أنزل معه أولئك هم المفلحون، صدق الله العلي العظيم. There are 10 characteristics that the Quran speaks about in this passage in Surah Al-A'raf, Surah Al-A'raf, which is chapter 7, verse 157. 10 characteristics about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We will reflect on some of them tonight and we will continue with the rest tomorrow, especially about what did the New Testament and the Gospel say about the Prophet. الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ, a Prophet that they find is mentioned in the New Testament and the Gospel. We would speak about this tomorrow inshallah, and I'll bring the Bible with me to find exactly where does God speak about him in the Torah and the Injil, the Old Testament and the New Testament. But before we speak about the khisal, the characteristics, the traits and the qualities of the last messenger of God, pay attention to the verse. The verse begins by saying, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّ, those who follow. Those who follow him also, they have five qualities. Number one quality, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ, they follow the Prophet. This is number one. Number two, فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ, they believe in him. They trust him. This is number two. Number three, وعزروه. عزروه, it means they honored him. They respected him. They gave him value. They appreciated him. وعزروه. Number four, ونصروه. They helped him and supported him. And number five, again, he says, and they followed him. واتبعوا النور الذي أنزل معه. Five qualities of his sahaba, his companions. Number one and number five, they look similar. Number one, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ, those who follow. And number five says, وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَعَهُ, they follow the light that descended with him. What is the difference between number one and number five? Both of them about following the Prophet. Both, but there is a difference. God does not repeat himself in the same sentence. That does not happen in the Quran. He never repeats himself twice in the same sentence. So this means that the second sentence is different from the first one. They are not similar in the meaning. They could be similar in the pronunciation. The words are similar, but the meanings are different. So let's focus on this before we go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. This is the eve of his departure. Today was the 27th of the month of Safar. Tomorrow is the 28th. And the Prophet left this life at the age of 63. On the 28th, it was Monday, 28th of the month of Safar, year 11th, after his hijrah, after he moved from Mecca to Medina. On the 28th of the month of Safar. The first sentence, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ, those who follow, with the last one, وَاتَّبَعُوا, and they follow, are different. The first one, it says, those who follow the Prophet. The last one says, those who follow the light that came down with him. So the first one, those who follow the Prophet. The second one, those who follow the light that came down with him, which means this book, the Holy Quran. And God says sometimes, isn't it the same, following the Prophet and following the light that came with him, the same? It should be the same. But then people came during his life, at his deathbed, while he was dying, and they differentiated between him and the Quran. They said, we follow the first, we follow the Quran, but we don't follow the Prophet. This has happened. This has happened 3 days before the departure of the Prophet. And it is recorded in the books of history. The companions gathered around him. There was some dispute. And that day is called Raziyatul Khamis, the tragedy, the catastrophe, the misfortune of Thursday. It's mentioned in the books of history. Sahih al-Bukhari refers to this incident 8 times in his book. 8 times throughout his book. Someone from the companions said, I follow the book, but I don't follow the Prophet. While the Quran says, those who follow the Prophet and they follow the book, both. You cannot follow the book without following the Prophet. Why? Because the Quran says, "Man ata'a ar-rasul faqad ata'a Allah." If you follow the Prophet, you are following God. So you cannot differentiate between God and the Prophet. The commands of the Prophet are exactly the commands of God. The obedience to the Prophet is exactly obedience to God. So one cannot say, I don't like what Muhammad is saying. I only like what God says, so I would follow God, believe in God, but when it comes to Muhammad, I will disregard that. This cannot happen. This is unacceptable. But unfortunately, it did happen. It did happen. This statement happened and took place by someone who became the leader after the Prophet, the second leader, the second caliph. He himself said this while the Prophet was dying. So the qualities of his followers are those who follow him and those who follow this book, both. And those who honor him, they do not disrespect him. وَالَّذِينَ وَعَزَّرُوهُ. Any disrespect to the Prophet is considered disrespect to the faith, to the religion, and ultimately disrespecting God. The Prophet is the messenger and the ambassador of God. وَعَزَّرُوهُ. God says you have to respect him. So who are the Sahaba as far as this book is concerned? Any person is considered good Sahaba? No. The virtuous Sahaba and companions are those who follow the Prophet, those who follow the book, those who respect the Prophet and appreciate him, those who help him and support him, and ultimately, those believe in him. والذين آمنوا, they have a trust in him. When he says something, they have a trust. آمنوا به. They do not belie him. They do not reject him. Neither they defy him. Those are the qualities of the Sahaba. Anything other than that is not considered a Sahaba. Is not considered. Yes, he's someone who lived with the Prophet, was with the Prophet, probably prayed behind the Prophet, but he's not a virtuous companion of the Prophet. Now we come to the characters of the Prophet himself. God says about him, Al-Rasul, Al-Nabi, Al-Ummi. These are three, number one, number two, number three. What is the difference between Rasul and Nabi? Does God repeat himself again? Are they synonymous with each other, equal? Rasul and Nabi are equal or they are different? If you look at the Quran, when God speaks about several prophets, he say that they are not only Nabi, but they are Rasul too. One of them is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this verse. The other one is Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam, wathkur fil kitabi Musa, innahu kana mukhlasan, he was selected, mukhlas, wa kana rasulan nabiyya. He was rasul and nabi. He was messenger and a prophet. Again about Isa alayhi salam, Allah about Ismail. واذكر في الكتاب إسماعيل إنه كان صادق الوعد وكان رسولا نبيا. So both titles, they gather in one person. He's Rasul and he's Nabi, but not all of them. Not all of them. Prophet Muhammad is one of them. Musa is one of them. Isa is one of them. Ibrahim is one of them. But not all. And sometimes Quran diverge between them. He says we have a Rasul and we have a Nabi. Where is that? It's in many places in the Quran. One of them in Surah Al-Hajj, verse 52. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ وَلَا نَبِيٍّ إِلَّا إِذَا تَمَنَّى أَلْقَى الشَّيْطَانُ فِي أُمْنِيَتِهِ. So here, God is saying that we send a messenger sometimes, and sometimes a Nabi, a prophet. So there is a difference between them. There is a difference. These are not synonymous. There is a substantial difference between being a prophet and being Rasul, being messenger and being prophet. What is the difference between them? There are several differences. Number one, the basis for Risala, to be a messenger, you have to be Nabi. Therefore, the base is being a prophet. Then after being a prophet, you could be promoted or given extra task of being Rasul too. So the basis is being Rasul, is being Nabi. Nubuwa comes first, Risala comes second. Nubuwa, being a prophet, is number one, and Risala is an extension to it. An extension to it. But the base is Nubuwa. This is number one. Number two, Nubuwa is bigger and greater in scope than Risala. Risala is more limited. Sometimes a person is not a prophet, but he's Rasul. He's Rasul. God can send someone as a Rasul, but not necessarily being a prophet. He's just a messenger to deliver the letter, to deliver the message. This is the meaning of Rasul. But he's not a prophet. Where is this? God says when Mary, she left her community, we sent her, فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. What did he say to Mary? قَالَ إِنِّي أَنَا, in Surah Maryam, قَالَ إِنِّي أَنَا رسول ربك لأهب لك غلاما زكيا. I'm a messenger from your Lord. He was not a prophet. He was an angel. So a Rasul could be a prophet, could be an angel, could be another person, not necessarily prophet. This is one of the differences. And then ulama and the scholars, they add one more element here. They say nubuwwah not only greater and bigger in scope, but it is more important and more sublime. Why? Because the Nabi receives revelation from God. He's privileged, he's honored by receiving revelation from God. Maqam al-rububi, connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He receives revelation, not necessarily. The Rasul does not receive sometimes, but the Nabi does receive. Now, sometimes God speaks about the Prophet as Rasul. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Why he says this? Or in another verse, when Allah speaks about the Prophet, he says, مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ. Because within this context, God wants to say that I sent him to deliver the message. So it was important for God to mention the term Rasul, not Nabi. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. When we study this within the historical context, this is in Surah Al-Imran. Where did it happen? When the Muslims were defeated in the Battle of Uhud. They ran away. They left the Prophet alone. One of them said, لَقَدْ قُتِلَ مُحَمَّدٌ. Muhammad is dead, so Islam crumbles down. Okay, no more Islam, no more faith, no more community, let's run away. And they did run away. They did run away. They left him with 7 people in the battlefield. Jibreel came to say, listen, even if Muhammad is not dead, he is still alive. He's heavily wounded. Even if he's dead, Islam is not dead. Islam is not going to die. Why? Because Muhammad is a Rasul. He delivers the message. His job is to deliver the message. Even if he gets killed, Islam would not be killed. Islam does not end with the death of the Prophet. This is the point that Allah wanted to deliver to the Muslims. That don't think that if Muhammad dies, Islam is going to die. Islam will continue its journey. Islam is a universal faith. Does not depend on 1 or 2 or 3 people. Those are honorable messengers. And God says, قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهَا الرُّسُلُ. Many messengers came and they died. But the message did not die. The message should continue. So that these are some of the differences between Nabi and Rasul. Now what is the meaning of Ummi? الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ. Those who follow. الرَّسُول. We understood the meaning of Rasul. Someone who delivers the message. النبي, who is a prophet, his maqam, his position, is bigger than Rasul because he receives revelation, he's in contact with God. God entrusted him with his scriptures, with his books, with his revelations, with his wahi. He's Nabi. And by the way, some of those anbiya were local. Some of them were universal. Among the universal ones are 5. They are called Anbiya u Ulil Azm. Ulil Azm means they have a bigger task. Sometimes a person goes to a small community, he has to deal with a number of families and individuals. Small number in this village, in this town. Sometimes that person has to deal with a humanity. And his message does not stop at the end of the village or the town or the country. It's a universal one. Encompasses all humans. Those are 5. And their struggle was much bigger than those who were local or regional. Much bigger. For instance, وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا. Who's the Noon? Yunus alayhi salam. He went to the city of Nineveh. At that time, Nineveh's population was 100,000 or a little bit more. Department of Census. God has a Department of Census. It's mentioned in the Quran. God says in the Quran, وَأَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ مِئَةِ أَلْفٍ أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ. We sent him to a community of 100,000 or more. Maybe 103, 105, 110. But Ibrahim alayhi salam was sent to the entire humanity. Before him, Nuh was sent to the entire humanity. After them, Musa alayhi salam to the entire humanity. Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, to the entire humanity. And last, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuhan nasu inni rasulullahi ilaykum jami'a. O mankind, Ya ayyuhan nas, I'm the messenger of God, Rasulullah, ilaykum, to all of you, ilaykum jami'a. I don't distinguish between this community and that community. I'm for all. And my love and my compassion and my mercy is also for all. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We should not keep his rahmah only to us. We should not limit him only to us. We should present him as a universal figure for the entire humanity. Their message encompasses the entire humanity. Then God says, this Rasul is Ummi. Ummi is someone who is illettered, who does not read or write. Now there are different theories. When it comes to the Ummiyah of the Prophet being illettered, there are different theories. Some scholars and interpreters believe that the Prophet was able to read and write, but he did not practice it. And they give example of someone who's an engineer, but he does not practice engineering. Someone who's a physician, but he does not practice medicine, but he knows. So they say, the Prophet cannot be illiterate. He cannot be illiterate. We can't accept that. He was able to read and write, but he did not practice that. This is a minority. But the vast majority of scholars, they say, no, he was illiterate. He was unable to read or write. Now we know that a very important way of learning is what? Reading and writing. Can you learn today? Can anyone learn today without reading or writing? It's impossible. It's impossible. Unless your brain is like a computer that stores everything through hearing. And that does not happen. The Prophet himself, he says, if you want to store things in your mind, if you want to memorize something, write it down. Write it down. Istainu. The Prophet says, seek help through writing. Biyaminik ala hifdik. If you want to memorize something, write it down with your pen and paper. Write it down. Look at it. It would help you to memorize this. It would. Now, with some people are exception. Some people probably, they are blind. They can't read or write, but they do memorize. But these are exceptions, my friends. The norm is that you must use your vision, your eyes, your hand to read and write in order for you to learn. But God wanted to say that the entire humanity depends on reading and writing in order for them to learn, to be educated, except one person in this universe, and that person is Muhammadin al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. God says he's an exception. The Prophet did not read, did not write, but yet he's the most learned scholar in this universe. He's Muallim, the first Muallim. He's the most educated person in this universe. Without reading, without writing. It's a miracle. God wants to say that Muhammad breaks the norms of this universe. Yes, it's true. You must read, you must write, It's important for you. Don't skip reading or writing, because in this book, Allah says in the first sentence that came down upon the Prophet, what did he say in this book? Iqra, practice reading. And then he says, Allama bil qalam. The first five verses that came down upon the Prophet, they spoke about reading book. Reading, number one. Book, number two. Pen, number three. These are the tools for learning. God says, but with one exception. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not need to read or write, because his learning is not conventional. It is unconventional. Unconventional. His teacher is not a human being. His teacher is the Lord. وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. God says to the Prophet, I taught you things that you did not know at all. I'm your teacher. So if I'm your teacher, I can teach you without reading, without writing, without a book. You don't need. Why God kept him away from reading or writing? I know some people who don't read or write. They say, this is the sunnah of the Prophet. I'm following his sunnah, see? The Prophet does not read or write, and I'm not reading. No, this is not his sunnah. This is an exception. Everything else is his sunnah, yes. If you really want to follow his sunnah, don't follow him being unable to read or write. This is not a good sunnah. This is not part of his sunnah. Follow him in his organization, in his manners, in his mercy, in his tolerance, in his blessings, in his help. Follow him in these traditions. Follow him in his forgiveness. The Prophet was the most forgiving person. The most forgiving person in a society that was based on revenge. Revenge. Tha'ar. The society of Quraysh, one of the most fundamentals of that society was tha'ar, revenge. Blood, war, sword. If someone does not kill, they do not even consider him to be a normal human being. They don't consider him to be a full man. Part of manhood and magnanimity is to carry your soul, your sword, and kill people. This was their philosophy. But the Prophet came and he was different. The Prophet, Anas, said, I served him 11 years. I never saw him raising his hand to abuse someone with his arm, with his hand. Never, ever. He never abused any human being in his life. Unless he defend himself in the battlefield, he should defend himself. Definitely. So the Prophet was different. Reading or writing is not part of his sunnah. Being illiterate is not part of his sunnah. Because he says you have to read and write. You have to read and write. Don't look at me as an example here. I am different. Why God did not want him to read or write? The answer is mentioned in Surah Al-Ankabut. Let me read it for you. Surah Al-Ankabut is chapter 29 in verse 48. وَمَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُو مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ كِتَابٍ. We did not allow you to read a book before the Quran. We didn't even allow you to read a book. So you did not read the Bible. The Prophet did not read the Bible. Neither the New Testament. Nor any other divine book. Nor any other normal book. He did not read. He did not carry a book with him. He did not have a book. He did not read a book. وَمَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُو مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ كِتَابٍ. وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ. Neither you carried a pen, neither you wrote a single sentence in your life. You didn't do that. Why? Because if we had allowed you to read books and write with your pen, إِذَنْ لَرْتَابَ الْمُبْطِلُونَ. إِذَنْ, for then, the disbelievers, Quraysh, who doubted you, who were around you, would have doubted you. Would have would have had suspicion about you, would have said, look at Muhammad. Muhammad is copying from other books. This is not his book. When you bring them the Quran, they say he copied this book from others. So we kept you away from reading or writing on purpose so they do not accuse you of a plagiarism. But even with that, they did accuse him. If you read Surah Al-Furqan, Furqan chapter 25, one of the most beautiful chapters in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 4 and 5, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا إِفْكٌ افْتَرَاهُ وَأَعَانَهُ عَلَيْهِ قَوْمٌ آخَرُونَ فَقَدْ جَاءُوا ظُلْمًا وَزُورًا. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, the disbelievers said about the Prophet, in هذا, the book, is nothing but a lie. Ifk means lie. A lie that Muhammad brought and fabricated. He fabricated, and some people helped him with this fabrication. وَأَعَانَهُ عَلَيْهِ قَوْمٌ آخَرُونَ. God says, this is a sheer falsehood. These are wrong accusations. فَقَدْ جَاءُوا ظُلْمًا. This is wrongdoing against the Prophet. These are unjustly accusations against the Prophet. فَقَدْ جَاءُوا ظُلْمًا وَزُورًا. وَقَالُوا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Others, they said, these are the tales of the past generations. Fables of those of old. These are myths, these are falsehoods and legends that Muhammad had brought. اكتتبها فهي تملى عليه بكرة وأصيلة. It was recited to him, dictated to him, so he wrote it down and he brought us this one and he says this is from God, while it is not from God. God says no. What we gave to Muhammad, these are revelations. These are revelations. قُلْ أَنْزَلَهُ الَّذِي يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Say to them, the book has been sent down, الَّذِي يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ, who has the secret, the mystery of this universe. يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So God did not want him to practice reading or writing, so they don't accuse him of fabricating the book, authoring the book himself. And then the Prophet, he says to his community, he says, فَقَدْ لَبِثْتُ فِيكُمْ عُمُرًا. You knew I was well aware among you when I lived in the middle of Quraysh. I did not come from Jupiter. I'm from the heart of Mecca, from the heart of Quraysh. All of you knew me very well. You knew my family, my past, my present. You knew my history. You knew my tradition. You knew my house, where I live, what I do. I never practiced reading or writing. I never met any monks or any priests from previous religions. I never. And therefore, one of the differences, my friends, between madhahib, schools of thought in Islam, is this. I'm going to say it. We in the school of Ahlul Bayt, we believe that when the Prophet received revelation, Jibreel arrived upon him in the Ghar Hira in Mecca, he came down. Others, they say, if you read their books, they created a fairy tale against the Prophet. It's unacceptable. This fairy tale is unacceptable in the school of Ahlul Bayt. We reject this completely. What does that fairy tale say? It says that when the Prophet came down, he was disturbed, he was confused, he was worried, he was afraid. So he came to his wife Khadija. He said, Khadija, please cover me with a blanket. She said, what's going on, Muhammad? He said, I know. I don't know what happened to me today. I hear the voice. I'm confused. And then they say he was confused. Look at this fabrication. Look at this injustice to the Prophet by the Muslims. Huh? This is Daesh mentality. Those are not the Christians or Jews. Those are Muslims who are accusing the Prophet. They say he went to the mountain to throw himself, to commit suicide from the mountain. Because he was so confused, and disturbed, he wanted to kill himself. This is what others say about the Prophet. This is called character assassination. This is character assassination. This is a grave injustice to the Prophet. And this was not the first time they did injustice to the Prophet. On many occasions, they accused the Prophet of hallucinating. Didn't he say the man, 3 days before the death of the Prophet, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَهْجُرُ? He's hallucinating? Of course. The one who says he's hallucinating, it's easy for him to say the Prophet wanted to commit suicide. It comes from the same source. Same people. So Khadija said to him, listen, Muhammad, take it easy. I have a cousin, he's a Christian. Waraqa ibn Nawfal, go to him, he'll explain everything. So the Prophet came to Waraqa, who's a Christian. He said to him, Ya Waraqa, I'm confused, tell me. Waraqa said to him, Muhammad, you are a great man, don't worry, you'll have a great future. Imagine the Prophet, who is Rasulullah, has to go to someone who is not a Muslim, so that guy will give him assurance. God would leave the Prophet with no tips, with no informations. He would just throw the risala on him, being unprepared. Would God do something? God, who is Hakim, who is wise, he would not prepare him for what is going to come? We don't accept this. These are slanders. These are disrespects. This is why you find the Quran. Quran says a Sahabi is the one wa'azzaruh, those who respect the Prophet and honor him. This is the real Sahaba. Not anyone who prayed behind the Prophet, my friends. Not anyone is entitled to be Sahaba. We should be realistic. Usually human beings, they have this nature that they look at the past with a glory. Look at the Christians, how they speak about Jesus and his disciples, his companions. They considered them, all of them to be virtuous. The same thing the Muslims do. The same thing the Jews do about Moses, which is not true. None of them are right. Neither the Jews, nor the Christians, nor the Muslims. In that society, you had people who were excellent, virtuous, pious, committed, good, noble. On the other hand, you had people who were ignorant, people who were bigots, people who were racist, people who did not accept Islam, and people who were hypocrites. You had both. So not anyone who stood behind the Prophet and said for one time, Allahu Akbar, and he did one of prayers, we say, this guy goes to paradise immediately. He got the visa to paradise. That does not happen, no. God says, we don't send people to paradise free. We have to test them. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا. You think that we send you to paradise free? We don't test you with several trials and tribulations and tests and exams, and we shake you very well. Then if you pass the test, yes, we will send you to paradise. But if you fail, we are not going to send you. Paradise depends on your work, on your reproduction. If your reproduction is good, the doors are open for you. If you don't have a production, or if your deeds are not good, the doors are shut. You can't go there. This is according to the Quran. My friends, most important thing about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his sunnah, his manners. I'm going to continue on this tomorrow. Tomorrow, inshallah, I'll speak about his names in Tawrat and Injil. Because some Christian friends in our societies, they ask us, Where is Muhammad in my book? Is he mentioned in my book? Yes, he's mentioned. We will explain it tomorrow. God does not leave a prophet, any prophet, without telling him who's coming next. Always, when there is a prophet, current prophet serving now, before his departure, he's going to come and tell his community who's next. So he does not leave them in bewilderment, in disarray. They know who's going to come. And this is exactly what Jesus said. وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ. Six hundred years. Not just Jesus. Ibrahim was before Moses. 1,200 years before Muhammad was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He said to his community, and we will read this in the Torah and the Injil both, how he foretold his community that there will be a leader being raised from the children of Ismail. Is going to come. They tell. So people are prepared. People are prepared. Prophet Muhammad, before his death, he mentioned many times 12 disciples, 12 successors, 12 imams, 12 khalifa who are going to come after him. All Muslims unanimously agree. Unanimously agree. That the Prophet said, Al-Khulafa'u min ba'di ithna ashar. My successors are after me are 12. However, the Sunnis, they say, the Prophet said, Kulluhum min Quraysh, all of them from the tribe of Quraysh. The Shia, they say, he said, Kulluhum min Bani Hashim, all of them are from the family of Hashim, which is the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tonight, the house of the Prophet is dark. Tonight, the city of Medina is sad. Tonight, the family of the Prophet is in pain. Tonight, the daughter of the Prophet, Fatima al-Zahra, is crying. She's restless. Because she is looking at her dad, and her dad is dying. He had been bedridden for 2 weeks. Some of the riwayat say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in bed for almost 13 days. Some of them say he was poisoned because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was poisoned and he was suffering. And tonight he gathered his family. He was very much concerned about his family because God had told him what will happen to his family. God told him the details of his family's fate. God told him what is going to happen to his house, the sanctity of his house is going to be breached. God told him how his daughter is going to be killed. God told him how his grandchildren, Hassan and Hussein, are going to be murdered. So the Prophet himself was very sad, and his family also was sad for his departure. The Prophet mentioned this to his daughter long before his death. He said to her, Ya Fatima, I want to tell you something special. Don't share it with anyone until after my death. So he said to her, he whispered in her ears. She cried. And then again he whispered in her ears again for the second time. She smiled. Aisha, the wife of the Prophet, was sitting there looking and watching. She said, Ya Fatima, what happened? One time you cry, one time you smile, What happened? Can you tell me? Fatima answered, عليه السلام. She said, ما كنت لأفشي على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم سره. The Prophet asked me to keep this as a secret. I'm not going to disclose this secret until he dies. So when the Prophet died, again Aisha repeated her question. And Fatima said to her, in the first time when I cried, he said to me, Ya Fatima, I'm going to leave you soon. Soon I am going to leave you. I'm going to join my Lord soon. So I cried. Then seconds later, he said to me, Fatima, you know what? أنتِ أول أهل بيتي لحوقاً بي. You are the first one of my family who's going to rejoin me and come to me. So I smiled. I was happy that I'll be with my father Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Therefore, Fatima was prepared for tomorrow, the 28th of the month of Safar, the house of the Prophet, the last day on the 28th, he could not go to Salatul Fajr. He could not leave his bed anymore because of the effect of his sickness, his marad, his poison. And therefore, he wanted Imam Ali to be with him all the time. He said to him, Ya Ali, don't leave me. Stay next to me, Ya Ali. And he gave him the wasaya. This is what you should, Ali. When I die, I want you to stay with me all the time. Don't leave my body, Ya Ali. Because the Prophet knew that others are going to leave him and rush to Saqifah to determine the leader after him. So he said, Ya Ali, you have to stay. You are loyal. You were with me. I was the one who raised you. I want you to stay with me, Ya Ali, until you wash me, you pray upon me, تغسلني, تكفنني, تصلي علي. You do all these things upon my body, and then you take me to my final destination. And my final destination is my house here. And the Prophet at that time, at the time of his death, he was in the house of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, his beloved daughter to him. Then someone knocked at the door. Fatima alayhi salam, she went to the door, she opened. She saw a man. She said to him, my father is unable to speak. He's too sick today, he can't speak. So the man left. He came the second time he knocked at the door. Again, Fatima went outside. She said to him, my father cannot speak. He left, he came for the third time he knocked at the door. This time Fatima alayhi salam came to him. She said to him, you didn't hear me? I said, my father cannot speak. Suddenly she heard her father saying, Ya Fatima, allow him to come. This is Malakul Maut. This is Malakul Maut. Open the door for him. Jibreel was sitting there. He said, Ya Rasulallah, inna hada Malakul Maut lam yasta'adhin ala ahadin min qablik wa lan yasta'adhin ahadin min ba'dik. For the very first time, the angel of death is seeking permission to come and take out the soul of a person. He never did this before. Neither is going to do this after you, Ya Rasulallah. Malak al-Maut came inside. He said, Ya Rasulallah, Ya Ahmed, Inna Allah Ta'ala ba'athani ilayka li'uti'aka fima ta'muruni. He sent me to you and he wants me to obey you in everything you want, everything you say. Fa'in amartani ata'at, wa'in karihtu taraktuha. If you accept that I take your soul, then I will do that. If you don't want me to take your soul, I would not do that. Jibreel was sitting next to the Prophet. Jibreel turned to the Prophet, said, Ya Rasulallah, inna al-Aliyya al-A'la qad ishtaqa ila liqa'ik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is longing to meet with you. The Prophet answered, wa ana ishtaqtu ila liqa'i Rabbi. Me too, I am also longing to meet my Lord. While Jibreel was speaking to the Prophet, Al-Hasanan, Hassan and Hussein, one of them 7 years old, the other 6 years old, they threw themselves on their grandfather. Amir al-Mu'mineen wanted to remove them. The Prophet said, La ya Ali, no Ali, leave them. Da'huma yashummani wa ashummuhuma wa yatazawwada minni wa atazawwadu minhuma. Let me spend these last minutes of my life with my sweethearts, with Hassan and Hussein. فَإِنَّهُمَا سَيُظْلَمَانِ مِنْ بَعْدِ. Immediately after my departure, they are going to be wronged, Hassan and Hussein, after me. Then the Prophet looked at Malakul Maut. Jibreel said to him, the Jinan, the paradise is ready for you. The Prophet turned his face to the Qibla. He said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Assalamu alaykum ya malaikat Rabbi. Wa aghmada aynayh wa tashahada ash-shahadatayn. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen turned to the family, to his wife Zahra. He said to them, عَظَّمَ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْأَجْرَ بِفَقْدِكُمْ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ فَتَضُجُّ أَمْلَاكُ السَّمَاءِ لِمَوْتِهِ الْيَوْمَ مَاتَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ جَمِيعًا مَاذَا عَلَى أَمَنْ شَمَّ تُرْبَةَ أَحْمَدٍ ألا يشم مدى الزمان غواليا قد كنت ذات حما بظل محمد لا أختشي ضيما وكان حما ليا واليوم أخشع للعدو وأتقي ضيمي وأدفع ظالمي بريدائي صبت علي مصائب لو أنها صبت على الأيام صرنا لياليا لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين. إن شاء الله we continue with this majlis tomorrow 7 PM Friday English and Saturday 7 PM in Farsi. إن شاء الله صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.